Good morning. I'm State Representative Dave Pinto. I'm the chair of the House Early Childhood Finance and Policy Committee. We're meeting pursuant to House Rule 10.01 today, and I do call this meeting of the committee to order. Welcome to members of the public. Our meeting materials have been posted to our committee website, and so I'd encourage members of the public to check that out. We've got our agenda and a number of materials, so please do that. And with that, I'll ask Ms. Chambers to please take the roll.
Yes. Representative Pinto, chair.
Present.
Representative Pryor, vice chair.
Present.
Representative Franson.
Present.
Representative Bennett.
Present.
Representative Bolden.
Present.
Representative Daniels.
Present.
Representative Dabney.
Good morning. Present.
Representative Damon.
Present.
Representative Juergens.
Juergens, present.
Representative Cotiza-Watun.
Present.
Representative Morrison.
Present.
Representative Waslewick.
Present.
And Representative Wolgamott.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. Representative Pryor, would you move approval of our minutes from Tuesday, February 23rd?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So moved.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Any additions or corrections to those minutes, members? And not hearing anything, all in favor of approval of our February 23rd minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, so the motion prevails, and the minutes from February 23rd are adopted. So, members, we have a action-packed agenda today. We're going to hear six bills, and part of the reason that I thought that we could do that, these all relate to support for those who are providing early care and learning in our community. And part of the reason I was thinking that we could do that is because of the work that we've done in the initial weeks of the session, hopefully laying the groundwork for all of us in terms of the context in which these bills are brought, the crisis in early care and learning around the state, and the squeeze on parents and the impact on employers and on communities, and then certainly what's going on with our providers as well, and how low paid they are and ill supported. And so we've got some proposals to address that. The first three are from Representative Olson, and the plan is to have testimony on each of those bills together, and then we will then have discussion on the three bills as a package and then act on each of the bills in turn. And so we're going to start with that. If I can have Representative Pryor, if you would move House File 413 to be brought before the committee.
I so moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. And that's Representative Olson's bill. And again, members, what we're going to do is officially 413 is in front of us. We're going to hear that bill and then the other two bills. 413 was heard favorably in the Workforce Development Committee. We're going to lay it over here, and then we'll act on the other two bills. Hopefully we're all clear on that. You can raise your hand if you got any questions. But Representative Olson, you are up. If you could introduce this first of your three bills, and we'll move to the first two testifiers, and then we'll get back to you for the other two bills. And welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a great committee to be at. I'm excited to be here for these three bills. So it sounds like you all don't need me to cover a lot of the child care crisis, but I do want to touch on the impacts it's having and why these bills are in front of you. So House File 413 addresses some of what you're discussing around the child care or lack thereof in greater Minnesota and is one of the most significant economic barriers we face. Since 1986, when they were created, the six initiative foundations have been charged with addressing the economic challenges of the regions they serve, and they have done so with significant success. Just during the pandemic alone, the MIF stepped up and created an emergency grant program for childcare providers that filled the gap between the start of the pandemic and when the legislature was able to establish the childcare provider emergency grants that have propped up the industry since May. They also partnered with DEED to administer the small business grants and loan programs that have helped so many of our Main Street employers weather this last year. And childcare is nothing new to the MIFs. All of them have worked to support the industry in their region for a number of years and with great success. These funds will allow them to continue to do their work and grow their capacity to do their work. The six initiative foundations are uniquely positioned to do this precise work in greater Minnesota. And with success, our employers will no longer have to decide whether to grow or locate in a community based on the availability of childcare. And with success, our families will no longer have to decide whether to work or where to work based on the availability of childcare. And so House File 413 provides $4 million to the six initiative foundations to support their existing work to address the childcare shortage in greater Minnesota. The funds can be used to facilitate community-based planning to address the local shortage, engage the private sector to invest local resources in building childcare capacity, provide training and technical support to childcare providers needed to build successful, sustainable, and profitable businesses, and assist providers to achieve parent aware rating. And with that, Mr. Chair, I have two testifiers, or we may have adapted that. It was two testifiers, but I think that's still the plan on this bill.
Okay, thank you, Representative Olson. And before we turn to the first testifier, so I will just, I've asked testifiers to keep your remarks to just 2 minutes if you can, so we can make sure we get through things. We're gonna be starting with the former majority leader. I'm so glad to have him back before the House, former Representative Tony Sertich. And Representative Sertich, if you can please identify yourself and then please proceed. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. My name is Tony Sertich. I'm the president of the Northland Foundation, one of the six initiative foundations. And I first want to express my gratitude to Representative Olson for carrying this important legislation and being a great partner. And to you all who serve in Minnesota, grateful for your service and grateful for the opportunity to be before this committee. I think Representative Olson did a great job in talking about the history of the initiative foundations that have been around for 35 years. There are six of us. We are independent of one another, have our own boards and have our own missions, but we work collectively and collaboratively on a number of issues, and childcare would be the biggest issue. And what I really appreciate about the initiative foundations is we're strategically located across greater Minnesota, and collectively the six of us serve 80 of the 87 counties in greater Minnesota. And so when we're in partnership and doing work, we're really covering the entire state with our work. And we've had a strong partnership with the state, and Representative Olson talked about a number of those efforts. And so we really, I believe, are a good intermediary, and kind of like a little bit like the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. We're not so big that things can fall through the cracks when you're trying to do something statewide. And we're not so small that there's economies of scale. We're kind of the just right regional partners that can really bring these resources forward and help out in this area of childcare. The phrase that keeps sticking with me, and I wish I remember somebody said this in this last year in looking at childcare, you can look at it from the development side of the kiddos and the families, but increasingly folks, as Representative Olson said, are looking at this as an economic either driver or barrier based on the availability. And the phrase that keeps coming to mind is businesses, the childcare is a business that other businesses rely on to stay in business. And like I said, I wish I remember who said that, so don't attribute it to me. But increasingly, people are understanding that. And as Representative Olson touched on those key factors that this bill focuses on around trainings and around getting the private sector involved, just in northeastern Minnesota, where the Northland Foundation is, we've been engaged with APEX, which is an investor member organization of the largest private businesses in our region, who have made childcare a top priority. You know, in years past, they're doing site selection development and all this other stuff. Childcare is one of their top issues now, and they're investing time and resources in solving the challenge. The IRRRB, the City of Duluth, we've been engaging with a number of local partners and using these dollars to really two and three times benefit our communities. And so we enjoyed the partnership and really appreciated the support we got 2 years ago. We're able to get that money out the door to help these small businesses, help our other businesses succeed. And Mr. Chair, happy to turn it over to one of my other colleagues from one of the other initiative foundations to get into more of the details from another corner of the state.
Thank you so much, Representative Sertich. And we're turning to Nancy Jost, please, if you can identify yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm Nancy Jost. I'm the Director of Early Childhood at West Central Initiative, which is based in Fergus Falls, and we are one of the six MIFs. And I would like to say, first of all, that the MIFs support House File 413. Previously, when the MIFs got this funding, we used it for business trainings and trainings that met parent-aware requirements and improved quality. We also used it to recruit providers to Parent Aware. We used it to facilitate conversations and actions with our local communities and partners to help solve childcare shortages. Some of those solutions have been recruiting family childcare providers, creating centers, creating family childcare pods, and figuring out how communities can help with finances, facilities, and other resources. West Central Initiative used some of the funds to focus on the high school to college and high school to direct workforce pipeline, offering a child care development associate, which is called a CDA. It's and we were using this to grow our own workforce. Our goal is to have high schools offer CDA and or early childhood credit classes so they can leave high school ready to work in the early childhood field or continue their early childhood education. We're working with Child Care Aware and the Minnesota Department of Education on this project. We also provide and host child development cohorts for adult learners, specifically current staff and existing child care providers who want to get their CDA. And despite COVID, this project has flourished. We want to continue doing the work we have done with previous funding and continue to explore innovative solutions to the child care shortage. Thank you for your time today, and I would like to leave you with one final comment, which Mr. Sertage already said, but I'd like to reinforce it, that child care is the business that keeps other businesses in business. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Joston. Thank you for your long-time leadership in this area. I'm so grateful to have had some chances to work with you on that. So that's the one proposal, members. Representative Olson, if you could turn to your next bill, which is House File 411, and members can take a look at that. Please introduce that for us.
Mr. Chair, do you want to put it before us or do any of that? Or should I just go ahead and introduce it?
Yeah, thank you, Representative Olson. My thinking is that we'll you can just introduce. Okay. We're sort of essentially doing this informationally, and then we'll have votes. And just hopefully members understand that. We'll then do the votes on these remaining two bills. But, yeah, we'll just power through all three bills. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So I'll just put a little context behind House File 411, that this, again, is addressing the child care shortage in Greater Minnesota. And, again, your committee probably is very aware of some of these numbers. But between 2000 and 2020, Greater Minnesota lost more than 20,000 childcare slots, which was a 17% decrease. And currently, Greater Minnesota lacks more than 39,000 childcare slots based on our current workforce needs. And so you'll hear a bit more about that from the testifiers, but what House File 411 does is it provides $10 million to the general fund into the Greater Minnesota Child Care Facilities, $10 million from the general fund into the Greater Minnesota Child Care Facilities Grant Program. And so this grant program was established in the fall in the bonding bill, but it didn't receive any funding. And so the bonding bill created two separate accounts for this program, one funded from the general fund and one funded from the bonding committee. So House File 411 provides funding for the general fund account. There's another bill that would fund for the bonding funded account. So the purpose of the Greater Minnesota Child Care Facility Capital Grant Program is to keep or enhance or expand or create new economic development in the area in which the grants are made by providing facilities for the child care necessary to support workers and their families. So eligible applicants include a private child care provider licensed as a child care center or to provide in-home family child care, a city, county, or school district or joint powers board established by two or more cities, counties, or school districts. And the way the funds can be used include acquiring land or an interest in land, pre-design, design, renovate, construct, furnish, and equip facilities in which to provide childcare or other childcare facility improvements that support the purposes of which this grant is established. And money from the account in the general fund may also be used to upgrade or expand existing nonprofit childcare facilities for purposes of meeting state requirements. And this does require a 50% local non-state match. And with that, I have testifiers who can better describe the impact this would have.
Thank you so much. We've got Pat Baustian. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, but if you could please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Pinto. Yes, Mayor Pat Baustian from Laverne here. Thank you for taking the time today to hear our testimony on House File 411. In 2017, our Economic Development Authority brought up one large underlying problem of economic growth that was hindering Laverne and Rock County businesses to grow. In 2017, that problem was a shortage of daycare and has only grown more severe as of today. In 2017, our Economic Development Authority commissioned the Maxfield Research and Consulting Company to accomplish a market feasibility study for a child care center in Laverne. We had that study accomplished, and in 2019, we had it updated. In 2019, there were 46 licensed providers in Rock County. Rock County is in the way southwest corner of Minnesota, population 9,800 people. Laverne is the county seat within that county, and we're a population of 4,700. So in 2019, we had 46 licensed providers providing daycare. Today, there are 33 licensed providers. With a license for 12 slots, that's 396 slots for the county. With an updated study in 2019, it pointed out that we were potentially short 328 daycare slots for a daycare center and 141 potential slots short for in-home daycare. Since 2017, the City of Laverne has had 5 independent citizens come to our Economic Development Authority for assistance in starting a daycare center. With every one of these potential startups, it was found that to buy or remodel or build a childcare center, that it was large enough to handle just 100 daycare slots, that the sheer cost of it drove the principal and interest payments too high to be able to make it profitable. The overhead of bricks and mortar are a double-edged sword, making it hard for these daycares to pay a competitive wage for their employees while also being able to afford a physical structure to house it. Daycare shortage in Laverne and Rock County is one of the most important economic development issues with our local businesses. If they're looking to grow or hire more employees, the first thing they look to is available daycare. With our critical shortage, it hinders that possibility of economic growth. No daycare equals no economic growth. They are directly tied. Our Economic Development Authority has watched that since 2017 and have worked with 5 independent business owners looking to start a daycare center. There's a story of a Sanford surgeon here in our local hospital. The surgeon had twins, and they had an in-home daycare. That daycare operator got sick one day, and the Sanford administrator scrambled to find somebody to go up and take those two kids and do in-home babysitting for that day, because I believe there was 5 surgeries scheduled in Laverne that day, and our surgeon was going to have to scrub all those surgeries if she couldn't get somebody to come in. Luckily, our hospital administrator found somebody to come into the home and take care of the surgeon's 2 little twins. Those stories are ongoing, and every day we hear of critical daycare shortages that are hindering our local businesses that can't find good employees because of the shortage of daycare. So thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm open to questions, but I appreciate you taking the testimony and hearing our critical need of daycare in southwest Minnesota.
Mayor Bauschen, thank you for your remarks and for sharing that particular story. I think that really jumps out at a lot of us, somebody rushing over to the home of the surgeon to just make sure surgeries can continue. Kind of paints a picture for a whole state. Next is Shannon Mortensen. If you can please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Pinto and committee members, for allowing me the opportunity to speak in support of House File 411 to fund new childcare centers in Minnesota. I'm Shannon Mortensen, the city administrator for the city of Warren. Warren is a community with a population of about 1,600 people in the northwest corner of the state. We are 30 miles from East Grand Forks, Crookston, and Thief River Falls. We're a growing rural community as families are choosing to live in Warren, a lot because of our small school size and our varied amenities. We like to consider ourselves the Mayberry of northwest Minnesota. So in our Mayberry or Warren, we do currently have a child care center and 3 home daycares. We had 11 in 2017 home daycares. So together, we only have 80 child care slots in our community. First Children's Finance has been working with the city to develop a strategic plan for child care in the community. Their data shows that within a 20-mile radius of Warren, there's a potential need for 187 more child care slots. We're only filling 80 today. So how are we going to provide additional slots in a short time frame? Home care license can only accommodate up to 12 children per home. That would mean you'd have to have 15 home daycares. And that process is long. And the average amount of years they're in business is 5. So the City of Warren is partnering with our current child care center to build a new facility, which should be licensed for 110 children. The current facility is a learning center, which prepares children for preschool and kindergarten. So city leaders are confident that with building a new center, it's the quickest way to double the amount of child care available. and there still allows a lot of room for anyone wanting to start a home daycare. The projected cost to build this new facility is $1.5 million. The building is 10,000 square feet, and the design maximizes revenue per every square foot. Warren has applied for a USDA community facilities loan that would provide the GEO bond for 40 years at 2.175% interest. And the lease from the Child Care Center is projected to cover the annual debt payment. But the $1.5 million is a risk for a small city to take, because in our world, that is a lot of money.
Ms. Morton, I'll have to ask you to wrap up quickly if you can. Sorry. Yeah.
No. The city just feels that that's an important risk to take. The workforce is needed. So that funding for 411 is really necessary for us to get a new center for anyone in greater Minnesota to increase their daycare slots the quickest amount of time. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Ms. Mortensen. Yeah, and just a reminder, all of our testifiers are trying to fit in a lot today, so ask folks to keep under 2 minutes if you can. And so, Representative Olson, so we've heard two of your bills, and then your third is House File 412, and if you could describe that for us.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So House File 412, again, addressing the child care shortage with a special eye towards greater Minnesota. And I'll just tell you about the bill and let the testifiers round the rest out. So this bill provides $10 million for the DEED Child Care Provider Grant Program for grants to local communities to increase the number of child care providers to support economic development. The funding opportunities include child care startup or expansion, child care provider training, facility modifications, direct subsidies or incentives to retain employees, assistance with licensing and regulatory requirements, and priorities for communities that have demonstrated a shortage of child care providers, and the grants require a 50% non-state match. And this is a statewide grant program with 50% of the grants committed for projects in greater Minnesota. And with that, I will turn it over to testifiers.
Thank you so much, Ms. Keller. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chair Pinto and members of the Early Childhood Committee. My name is Cisa Keller. I am the Senior Vice President of Early Childhood Quality Development at Think Small, and I am testifying today on behalf of the Early Care and Education Crisis Workgroup in support of House File 412. The Crisis Workgroup is co-convened by Think Small and the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and is comprised of a variety of organizations aimed at addressing Minnesota's worst in the nation achievement gaps, as well as the shortage of quality child care programs. It is imperative that we not only address the shortages of early childhood programs and the closures exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, but also invest in the development of more quality child care providers to support the economic recovery, close Minnesota's severe achievement gap, and avoid growing the state's child care deserts. House File 412 addresses one of the Crisis Workgroup's top priorities, to preserve and increase the supply of child care programs. We support provisions that invest directly in local Minnesotan communities, specifically those that are experiencing shortages in child care. The workgroup also supports the bill's commitment to comprehensive investments through an emphasis on job creation and training and increasing child care slots. In addition, we support this bill as a statewide proposal, as families are experiencing child care deserts in every part of the state. However, we would encourage intentional connections to parent-aware participation. Access to quality early care and education is one of the strongest means to closing achievement gaps, which begin due to disparities in early learning opportunities. We achieve these outcomes when we ensure the programs are quality, and participation in parent-aware is how we can do that. We are at a critical point in the pandemic recovery process. We have an opportunity to not only address the post-pandemic crisis, but also fundamentally improve the inequitable and inaccessible pre-pandemic state of Minnesota's child care. Access to child care is directly tied to economic resilience, and denying families the options to bring their children to an early care provider has direct consequences on the workforce. In Minnesota, labor force participation among mothers of young children dropped over 11% during the fall of 2020 compared to the previous year, according to a report from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. The need to invest heavily in this sector has never been greater. There's no economic recovery without childcare recovery. You have heard that loud and clear this morning. And the Early Care and Education Crisis Work Group strongly encourages committee members to recognize the urgency of childcare crisis and take actionable change in addressing the early care and education inequities and disparities. Thank you, Chair Pinto and members of the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Keller, and thank you for all of your leadership in this area as well. Our final testifier is Ms. Holweger. If you can identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. Good morning. My name is Jenny Holweger, and I'm the CEO of the Camdeo High County Area Family YMCA. I'm here to provide an example of what can be accomplished with the right assistance to help alleviate the child care shortage. In December of 2018, Troy Peterson from my staff and I met with Representative Baker to discuss how to alleviate the child care shortage in Canyon County. A first children's finance study in the county showed that there was a shortage of 770 spots for children. 350 of those were in Spicer and New London and 170 in Wilmer. The shortage was affecting the economy and life of the county residents. Employees were, and still are, in short supply. People were not moving to the area because they lacked childcare, and people were giving up jobs to stay home with children. The YMCA had the resources and infrastructure to operate an additional childcare center, but not the resources to build or renovate space and provide the startup pieces needed prior to operation. Dave Baker jumped right in, and that afternoon we were looking at spaces for a new center. The spaces we considered were already available spaces that would need renovation. We chose a space in the Green Lake Mall in Spicer, Minnesota, knowing it would revitalize that space and the rest of the mall and would add convenience for parents with grocery stores, Snap Fitness already in the mall. Construction began July 30th of 2019. Diversified funding for this project was extremely important to raise $860,000 to complete it. To help the efforts, grants were submitted, and one of those grants was the DEED grant. The DEED grant helped to purchase the furnishings and curriculum, materials, and equipment. And with $50,000 from the grant and leveraging over $30,000 in matching community donations, we were able to furnish all five rooms, two infant, two toddler, and one preschool room to serve 82 children. The YMCA Early Learning Center officially opened December 23, 2019. Pre-COVID, the Y had 42 children enrolled in the Spicer Center and was set to have 54 by the end of March 2020 and 82 by the fall of 2020. But in March 2020, the center was abruptly disrupted and the numbers dropped to 15 when the center switched to providing essential childcare. Many parents just felt the need to stay home with their children during this time, and so we had fewer children. But since the fall of 2020, the center has started rebuilding enrollment and currently 53 children are attending and the center should be full at 82 by fall of 2021. The center is staffed to 22 staff members and grows as enrollment grows. It is anticipated that license capacity and enrollment will grow to 90 by the fall of 2022 due to changes in age designations to the rooms. We anticipate we'll add another total We will have a total of 29 employees to add to our economy directly, and indirectly, parents of children enrolled will be able to seek and continue work because of the extra childcare spots we were able to provide. The DEED grant was valuable in this project and provided important foundational elements to help us serve the children and families in Candiota County. As a current childcare provider, I support the continuation of the DEED grant to expand childcare availability. And personally, and on behalf of the Minnesota State Alliance of YMCAs, I support House File 412, the DEED grant program for childcare of $10 million to increase the supply of childcare providers.
Thank you so much, Ms. Holweger. So members, to confirm, House File 413, the first bill was heard favorably in workforce development. These other two, the plan is to move them there. We'll open up to member questions and comments. We've got a little bit of time for that. Move on. So members, if anybody has anything, please raise your hand and do that. Yeah, Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A quick question for Representative Olson on House File 411. I believe it was House File 411.
That was the middle bill, I think.
Yeah, the Greater Minnesota Child Care Facility Capital Grant Program. Representative Olson, you're talking about the bonding bill and general fund money, and I just want clarification. Is the funding needed from the general fund because the bonds haven't been sold yet for the bonding bill proceeds? Is this to help get the funds sooner? Does it replace it? Just a little more clarification on that, please.
Yeah, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So I'll turn it over to Scott McMahon from the Greater Minnesota Partnership. He can answer that. He was a part of the legislation last year that created that fund.
Mr. McMahon, please identify yourself and then answer the question if you can.
Chair Pinto, thank you. Scott McMahon with the Greater Minnesota Partnership. So the account was set up with two separate accounts. The bonding funds can only go to local governments. The cash account can also go to providers. And so it's intended that with the two different funding streams, we can attack this issue in with different strategies. And so the ultimate desire is to have money available in both accounts so the communities can figure out what the right solution is for them.
Representative Juergens.
Okay, so it's not just a cash advance sort of a thing. There are two separate purposes for the different streams of funds. I got it. Thank you, Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Representative Juergens. Representative Damon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the bill's author, Representative Olson, thank you for bringing these forward. We know that, as the stats have been told, the work that we also did on the Family Child Care Task Force, the great need for child care, especially in Greater Minnesota. So I definitely appreciate the work. A question that I have, and I believe I'll address it to you, Representative Olson, and then if you want to defer, based on House File 413, the Initiative Foundation, with those grants that are offered, is there a minimum amount? I have heard from a provider and a constituent that when they were looking at accessing a grant, it was a minimum $10,000 plus then a match of the same amount, and that eliminated a lot of opportunity for some of the providers that were looking for less. Can you answer that for me?
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'll actually turn that over to one of our MIF folks, or one of our testifiers, probably. It looks like Tony Sertich, Mr. Sertich.
Yeah, Mr. Sertich, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. Thanks for the question. I believe those $10,000 grants were a part of the emergency response that we worked in conjunction with larger philanthropy. But to this bill specifically, we have the availability to use the dollars in a flexible way. And so there is no upper limit or you need to apply for this much money. The Initiative Foundations really work on a case-by-case basis with communities, with providers to try to meet their needs. And so there isn't a high threshold with this intended legislation.
Representative Damuth.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for the clarification. That's all, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Representative Damuth. Just looking to see if there's anything else. I'll just note that, you know, we need an all-in approach to this. It sure seems to me from the weeks that we've had in our committee, and I so much appreciate Representative Olson, this set of bills you've put forward. To note, members, that there's this fourth bill that went straight to the bonding committee. I think Representative Olson, that's correct, with that piece, as Representative Juergens is asking about. Just terrific. Again, looking to see, I don't see any other hands. And so with that, Representative Olson, any final comment on your three bills before we act on them?
No, Mr. Chair, other than to say thank you for the conversation today, and I just ask for members' support of these important bills.
Thank you so much. So with that, members, the chair is laying over House File 413, possibly brought up later. Again, Workforce Development heard that favorably, and it's ready to act on that that committee, so we're going to hold on to that one. Representative Pryor, if you could please move House File 411 to be referred to the Committee on Workforce and Business Development.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do move House File 411.
Thank you so much, Representative Pryor. And again, members, we just had testimony and debate on that one, so we're going to go straight to the vote. Ms. Chambers, if you could please do that.
Yes, Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
Aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Bolden?
Aye.
Representative Daniels?
Aye.
Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Representative Damon?
Aye.
Representative Juergens?
Juergens, aye.
Representative Cotiza-Watoon?
Aye.
Representative Morrison?
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Aye.
And Representative Wolgamott?
Wolgamott, aye. Okay, so by a vote of 13-0, the motion prevails. House File 411 is referred to the Committee on Workforce and Business Development. Thank you all. And then, Representative Pryor, if you could move House File 412 to that same committee, the Committee on Workforce and Business Development.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I do move House File 412.
Thank you so much. And again, members, we've already had testimony debate on this one, so we're going to go straight to the vote. Ms. Chambers, if you can do that.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
Aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Bolden.
Aye.
Representative Daniels?
Aye.
Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Representative Damoth?
Damoth, aye.
Representative Juergens?
Juergens, aye.
Representative Cotizza-Watoon?
Aye.
Representative Morrison?
Aye.
Representative Wasliwit?
Aye.
And Representative Wolgamott?
Aye. And again, by a vote of 13-0, that motion prevails as well. House File 412 is referred to the Committee on Workforce and Business Development. Thank you so much to members. Representative Olson, thank you for bringing these terrific bills forward, and to all the testifiers for all their hard work in this area. We really appreciate it. So Representative Wasliwit, you are up, and would you like to move that your bill be referred, I believe this is House File 260, be referred to that same Committee on Workforce and Business Development?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move that House File 260 be referred to the Workforce and Business Development Committee.
Thank you so much. And I understand that you have an author's amendment. I believe it's the A2.
I do, Mr. Chair, and I'll just briefly talk about what that amendment does. So the amendment adds the TEACH program funding to what was originally the retained program funding. And then it does make some changes based on some technical assistance provided by DHS and some conversations with folks from Child Care Aware about increasing flexibilities for folks who are receiving the retained grants to make sure that if they move to a different center, for example, or move to a different position in their where they're currently working, that they're still eligible for those for that program.
Okay. Any questions or discussion about the A2 amendment? Not hearing any. All in favor of the A2 amendment, this is the author's amendment to put the bill in the form that Representative Wasliwit wishes. In favor of that amendment being at House File 260, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So we've got the bill in the form you wish. So Representative Wasliwit, if you could just introduce your bill, and then again, same thing for the testifiers, my apologies, but we'll ask you to keep, once we get to you, to keep things just to 2 minutes on it if you can. Representative Wasliwit, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've heard a lot of presentations and testimony on the need for getting more child care providers and early childhood folks into the field and keeping them in the field. We know that low wages have a big impact on their ability to retain staff. And so the House File 260 is an attempt to try and sort of get at that problem in two ways. The first is to appropriate some money for the retaining early educators through attaining incentives now or retain grant program. And this grant program is geared towards incentivizing well-trained childcare professionals to remain in the workforce. The second piece of the bill that we just amended onto the bill here is appropriating some funds for the Teacher Education and Compensation Help Grant Program. This program supports tuition scholarships of up to $10,000 per year for child development associate credentials or for folks who are seeking a degree in early childhood development and school age care and some additional education incentives as well. So this is the bill, and I have several testifiers here to talk more about the bill and to talk about how it's helped them stay in the field.
Thank you so much. So we'll turn to our first testifier, Ann McCulley, another real leader in this field. So Ms. McCulley, if you could identify yourself and then proceed.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Good morning. My name is Ann McCulley. I'm Executive Director of Child Care Aware of Minnesota, and we are the administrative home for both the TEACH and the RETAIN programs. And in the interest of time, in that 2 minutes, I am going to, if it's all right with you, share just three quick slides just to power walk us through. Yeah. The introduction, I think it'd be far more beneficial for you to hear from our actual recipients. So in order to get all the data together, I just put it all on slides for you. So TEACH, first of all, is a national program licensed in 20 states here in Minnesota. We are the license holder, and it helps both center-based and family child care educators increase their levels of education, compensation, and commitment to the field by earning college degrees and credits. The program began in Minnesota in 2002, and we have expended over $6 million since that time to help over 1,000 early educators attain degrees at over 40 Minnesota colleges and universities. The funding has continued to grow, but so has the demand, and of course, the cost of college continues to go up. So to have additional funding to be able to expand our pool and serve more students would be fabulous. Here's just a quick profile of the awards last year, just to give you a sense of the well-roundedness of the program. So on the left, you see the types of roles that received teach scholarships. So we have teachers in centers, family child care providers, we have center directors, we have folks that want to move up the career lattice to be trainers at a higher level, and then we even have some coaches who need a degree in order to do their work. On the right, you can see it's fairly balanced last year between bachelor's, folks seeking a bachelor's degree, and an associate's degree. And then down below, I just put that for you, last year's split relatively proportionately between the Twin Cities Metro and Greater Minnesota when we think about where the workforce lives and works. And 35% of our recipients last year identified as BIPOC early educators. So that is the TEACH program. And then quickly, the Retain Bonus Grant program. Again, it's sort of, we think of it as a companion to TEACH. So TEACH helps meet you wherever you're at and helps move you through higher ed, should that be your desire. The Retain Grant says now that you've got either a CDA or a higher ed degree, we want to keep you in that field. And so it, again, child care classroom, family child care educators are all eligible. It's considered, it's, I will note that it's probably the only current initiative we have that goes directly to compensation. It is meant to help those early educators meet their needs. And so it's a relatively no strings type of an approach to really meet the gap, which you all know is great when it comes to compensation. Since 2003, we've awarded grants to over 2,000 degreed and credentialed early childhood and school age care professionals. And the whole point of the program is that somewhat clumsy acronym is really about retaining them in the field, as I said. The grants average between $1,000 and $3,500. The average grant last year was about $2,270. And the issue we have with Retain is that really every single time we do a round, we do one in the spring for centers and one in the fall for family child care, we are turning away over half and sometimes upwards of two-thirds of our qualified educators. So the ability, again, to have state funding to be able to expand this program, which is highly sought after, would be, again, a bonus. And I think I will wait for your direction on questions, Mr. Chair, since we have some testifiers.
Thank you so much, Ms. McCulley. Let's turn to Kath Church, who is up, and so if you can identify yourself and then proceed. Kathleen Church. Oh, let's go to get you unmuted. Almost there. There you go.
Okay. Hi. Good morning. My name is Kathleen Church, and I run my own home-based naturalistic program called Creative Children Child Care, Casa di Creativa Bambini. My demographics will also be able to add a bit of a different perspective view. I am based in Northern Hubbard County and service Cass Lake area, Northern Hubbard, and parts of the Beltrami County, including the Band of Ojibwe of Leech Lake. I service families that bring a great diversity and culture to our community. My program is based as a blended approach that offers a Montessori and a traditional preschool delivery, life skills and social and emotional, including divergent literacy, maths, manipulatives work, large, small motor activities, dramatic play, added engagement with a large emphasis on culture and diversity in a naturalistic environment for children under five, allowing the children to thrive and drive their own learning. The impact of the TEACH has made on me and others in our community is helping bring equity for both adults like myself that would have never been able to afford to go back to university and also the ability to continue to work in our field. The program has allowed me to show younger adults the impact it can make on the future and persuaded many to re-enter university or college to up their skill set. The program that I decided when I embarked on this journey with the help of TEACH was to explore all the options first. I explored all the options that came available through me through TEACH, two-year programs, four-year BA, or a four-year bachelor in science with licensure, which I chose to do. What I can say is not only was TEACH instrumental in helping me bridge this gap, but also allowed me to attend a program that I felt I could engage and enhance my already skill set with understanding a more growth potential by being able to attend a very unique program at St. Catharines University that offered me not only early childhood program, but a program that allows me to explore not just traditional early childhood pedagogy, but also Montessori style, giving me an edge and a greater toolbox to bring all the environments of early childhood and all types of programs, whether it be a school classroom, a traditional building, a center-based Head Start, or a naturalistic home-based preschool, helping me and us demand that the community needs to excel and nurture and guide our children into the future. The profound effect that Teach has given me and an inspired woman from the reservation to also go back to school and aim higher for the future and also the little ones. I will be the first in an entire family to graduate from university. I was a child that grew up in a metro, Milwaukee area, and grew up in poverty with serious ACEs, being far less from the age of 7. Again, I would like to say the importance of Teach in empowering early childhood professionals to gain their degrees and giving guidance to people who are committed to empowering and enlightening the young minds for a better future. And my most important note, that this program allows availability for home providers, not just center staff and school, and the ability to offer the equity. I'm dedicated child care committed individuals to take part in a making and better future for littles, allowing parents to have the choice and option that work for their families and their program, and critical to bringing the gap that may exist in this program, given that many allow us to build early childhood profession and give us real human collateral investment in the world needs right now in Minnesota and through this country.
Thank you so much, Ms. Church. Thank you for your work with families and giving to the next generation. And it's just, it's really powerful to have you share your story. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm turning to Emily Hernandez next. If you can identify yourself and proceed.
Hi, there you go. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee and guests. I thank you so much for this opportunity to share my experience with the Teach Scholarship. My name is Emily Hernandez, and I was a retail worker for 5 years. When I found I wanted a career change, I looked into working at a child care center, as I always loved working with children. Throughout my first 3 years at one center, I was promoted from an aide to an assistant teacher to then a lead teacher. When I moved centers, I heard about the early childhood program at Concordia University and was immediately interested. A coworker explained to me that this program catered to mothers, full-time workers, and even those who wanted to take college a bit slow. I had said I didn't think I could afford a private university education on my hourly wage, but she mentioned the Teach program and I applied that night. I would be over $30,000 in debt if it was not for the Teach Scholarship. Teach is one of the main reasons I decided to go back to school and get my bachelor's degree. Now I'm a year away from graduating with the highest distinction, summa cum laude. This program has allowed me to further my education in ways I could never imagine. I aspire to have my master's degree someday and would come back to Teach should funding expand and cover graduate degrees. 90% of a child's brain is developed by age 5, and therefore expanding funding for this program is essential, as this field shapes children's mind during a time of mass brain development. These early educators deserve the proper education to give each child the best chance to succeed in life and in school. Teach provides the funding for early educators to get this high-quality education so they can be the empathetic, compassionate, and educated teachers parents pay for. I appreciate your time, and I really hope that you support this measure.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hernandez. That's two inspiring stories in a row, so thank you so much. And Cheryl Kayla, I'm not sure how to pronounce your last name, but please identify yourself and proceed.
Hi. Good morning, Chair Pinto and the House Committee members. My name is Cheryl Cowell, and I have been a provider, a family child care provider, for the past 17 and a half years in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. The retained funding is extremely important to providers. As you know, I work in a field that is not highly compensated. Providing and maintaining a high-quality program is important to the families I serve, and knowing that I provide a safe, comfort environment for their child and that they are being well taken care of, and also provide quality learning experiences to learn and grow and be ready for kindergarten. Providers spend between 50 and 60 hours a week in providing direct quality care to families. In addition, we spend our own family time in the evenings and weekends to go grocery shopping, shopping for crafts, supplies, shopping for materials such as toys and equipment, researching field trips, preparing lesson plans, as I'm also parent aware rated and nationally accredited by the National Association of Family Child Care as well. I'm also looking for additional resources to assist with some of my families and their needs of services, especially during this COVID time, and also attending classes online to add to my own professional development. Receiving this retained funding this year has been truly a big incentive for me to continue my hard, dedicated work in the early childhood field. It is one way that I can feel appreciated as my role in as a family child care provider. For me, I chose to spend this money in a few ways, helping to support my own education, to buy some equipment for my family child care, as well as building lasting, continuing relationships with my families and colleagues. So it's important to be supporting this retain. I have also been, previous to this, a TEACH recipient as well. I obtained through this program a bachelor's degree in early childhood education field from Concordia University. As you know, again, this field doesn't pay much, so to have a college financial degree can be challenging. I received my bachelor's degree so that I can also become an early childhood trainer to educate providers such as myself, but also providers at centers that need to have the required training from the Department of Minnesota, as well as the parent aware programs that we offer through our state. This TEACH program eliminated the financial stress for me so that I could increase my level of education and thus become more committed to the field and helping not only my families I serve, but childcare providers and family childcare and across the centers as well.
Thank you so much, Ms. Clow. Thank you. Thanks to all three of those testifiers, plus Ms. McCulley. Really powerful. So members, any questions that folks have? We've got just a brief amount of time here, but just to see if anybody does. Otherwise, just really inspiring stuff. Looking to see if we do. And again, this bill is going to be referred to the Committee on Workforce and Business Development. Representative Pryor.
It's hard to have questions and because you just want to sit and process and really appreciate what we're able to hear about in the committee, and we're so grateful that we can bring some light to this so that more people know this important work that's going on and how dedicated people are to doing this work, which is so critical and so important, especially, thank you for the Eden Prairie connection. We appreciate that, Harley and I. I'm trying to get to my question, which, gets back into, the legislation part of this is that, so what we know is, we heard a little bit about how the number of people that are qualified for this grant and can take the grant, how close do we come to really funding that?
Maybe Ms. McCulley, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative.
Representative Wozlik, but yeah, no, Ms. McCulley, we'll toss it to you, sorry.
I'm looking to Representative Wozlik. Okay, we can tag team if necessary. Mr. Chair, Representative Pryor, again, as I mentioned, we are seeing the demand for both programs. The TEACH program has certainly grown. I think last year we topped $1.3 million in funding, and we could have done probably more than that. And the costs of college continue to rise as well. The retain program in particular, because it is such a small allocation, some years we've had as little as $250,000 to split. And again, we do a round for center-based educators as well as family child care. And so we're maybe serving 100 people each time. And so to have additional funding, we turn away at least half, if not two-thirds, of the people who apply for those retain grants in particular. So in both cases, additional funding could more than double in some cases our ability to reach out.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that answer. Thank you, Representative Pryor. Representative Juergens, I saw your hand was raised. You lowered it, but do you have
person? It was kind of touched on there, Mr. Chair. Just wondering if there are federal funds that are available for these types of programs.
Thank you, Ms. McCulley.
Mr. Chair and Representative Juergens, that has been the primary source of funding since 2004 or 5, I would say, of the program is federal child care and development block grant funds. But as you might know, those funds get talked about a lot in this committee. There's a lot of demand for those funds. They are nearly the sole source right now of funding. There was one biennium back in 2007 when we did have state funding for TEACH, and it actually was an application through the Office of Higher Ed, but that was cut back when there was a deficit, and it's never been restored. So we are operating on the same funding we've been funded for 15 years, and really feel like with the dedication of the legislature to the idea of our workforce and direct support for our workforce, it's time to look at some state funding, hence the request.
Yeah, Representative Juergens, that's gotcha. Okay, good. Good. I don't see any other hands, and so we will move to a vote. So Representative Wasilewicz renews her motion that, again, my many thanks to our testifiers, that House File 260 be referred to the Committee on Workforce and Business Development. Ms. Chambers, if you can please take the roll.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Representative Franson?
Yes.
Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bolden?
Aye.
Representative Daniels?
Aye.
Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Representative Damon?
Aye.
Representative Juergens?
Juergens, aye.
Representative Cotiza Watoon?
Aye.
Representative Morrison?
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Aye.
And Representative Wolgamott?
Aye.
Okay, and by a vote of 13-0, the motion prevails. House File 260 is referred to the Committee on Workforce and Business Development. Thank you so much, Representative Wasilewicz and all. Representative Pryor, you are up next. We've got the House File 1125, and would you like to move that be referred to the Committee on Taxes?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that House File 1125 be moved to the Tax Committee.
Thank you so much. And you have an author's amendment, the A1. Would you like to move that?
I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you. The A1 makes sure that these tax credits that we're talking about would also apply to providers that are working in a tribal licensed child care centers. So I'd like it. I'd like to also move that before the committee too.
Good. Any questions or discussion about the A1 amendment, the author's amendment? Not hearing any. All in favor of the A1 amendment to put the bill in the form Representative Pryor wishes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And so, Representative Pryor, if you can briefly explain your bill, and then you've got two testifiers, and again, we'll ask them to be real brief if they can.
Okay.
Representative Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so I am so grateful that I'm able to present my bill right after the Teach and Retain bill, because really we're talking about similar strategies for helping the group of people that are so vital to not only our economy, but as we know from hearing the testimony in this committee, so vital to the development of our next generation. So the work that these providers are doing today has impacts for generations to come, really, because we saw that if you with high quality care, there's a payoff through adult life, and which means into the life after that. So we're talking about, you know, long term investment. My particular strategy is to look at tax credits. And so these tax credits would go directly to these providers to support and to incentivize their own career development. So it's a pretty simple bill. The tax credit, the tax committee can, you know, work out the fiscal impacts of this. But I know in our committee, what we want to talk about is the need for the providers to get the support that a tax credit could give them, and also just the reminder of how this important is to our childcare industry, and finally how important it is to children today. So with that, I would like to turn it over to the testifiers. If they would like to proceed, we'd love to hear their stories.
Indeed, thank you. So, Suzanne Pearl, you're up, and if you can please identify yourself, and as I said, if you can just try to keep yourself to just 2 minutes, that'd be great. Ms. Pearl, please proceed.
Certainly. Thank you, Chairman Pinto. My name is Suzanne Pearl. I'm the Minnesota Director for First Children's Finance. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning on behalf of House File 1125. I had the opportunity to speak in front of this committee at the beginning of this legislative session. And at that time, I said that we were emerging from a pandemic crisis in childcare back into an existing crisis in childcare. One factor in that crisis is that the number of childcare providers in Minnesota has been consistently decreasing for a number of reasons, including a large demographic shift, and we are not doing enough to recruit new providers into the sector. This, in turn, means fewer options for families looking for childcare. In Minnesota, childcare professionals working in a childcare center average just over $12 an hour, and family providers in Minnesota average closer to $8 an hour. This bill would help to address provider attraction and retention by directly impacting the earnings of childcare professionals. Our organization works with communities and childcare providers all across the state. You've heard from a couple of our partners earlier this morning. We hear often from childcare providers, but particularly from childcare centers in Greater Minnesota, that they have difficulty recruiting staff for their childcare businesses. If they can't staff appropriately, they can't operate at their capacity, and that directly impacts the supply of childcare available to working families. When I spoke to you last month, I made the point that the benefits of a robust childcare sector are shared by all of us. Through increased child development opportunities and a healthier economy, regardless of whether we personally use childcare. This is critically important now as we look to what is hopefully an economic recovery and the return of lost jobs. However, while we all benefit from childcare, the cost of childcare is currently borne solely by working families and by childcare providers who struggle to keep costs affordable for families while retaining qualified staff. House File 1125 is a good step in the right direction, and I ask your support. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Pearl. And then finally, turning to Aisha Jackson, if you can identify yourself, welcome to you, and please proceed.
Hello, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Aisha Jackson, and I am a family child care provider in Minneapolis. I have been in the child care field for 10 years, starting in daycare centers, and I've had my own program for 1 year now, Happy Hearts Early Learning Child Care. And my goal is to put care back into child care. My program serves 10 children, and I am in the process of earning a parent aware rating. I am committed to serving children in my community from all backgrounds. I recently took a course on the effects of trauma in early childhood, and it made me want to get involved in advocacy in child care and in Minnesota. This is my first time advocating, so I am a little nervous.
No, and you're doing great.
I'm grateful for the invitation. So I just filed my taxes for the first time, so the tax credits would be an immense help to me and so many other providers that I've known and worked with in my career. Providers like me have not been valued as we should be. I care about quality and am always open to learning more so that children I serve get the best possible start. I care about my own education and I have earned an AA degree, but unlike in other fields, when you increase your qualifications, in childcare, there's often little to no opportunity for increased compensation. Before joining Parent Aware, I had limited guidance on what it means to be a high-quality program, even though I know I wanted to be a high-quality program. So going through Parent Aware taught me how to positively interact with children and their families, set routines, and develop lesson plans based on the individual assessments of each child. There is a lack of high-quality childcare in Minneapolis and surrounding areas, and I believe that these funds would motivate current and future providers to further their education and improve their programs. I believe that children and adults thrive on affirmations and positive reinforcement. If providers are rewarded on furthering their education, they will, and in return, we would have more children that are academically and emotionally ready for kindergarten and the world beyond.
Ms. Jackson, thank you for your testimony, for your just critical work in our community, and you are welcome to come back and advocate with us anytime you like. We are glad to have you. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, thank you. So members, any questions or discussions regarding this this proposal? Just a minute for that. It's Representative Pryor, I think it's just terrific. And as I said before, we really need an all-in approach here. to be supporting this just critical sector that every other sector depends upon. So just looking to see if there's anything. I'm not seeing any questions or discussion. Representative Pryor, could you just provide any closing remarks before we do a vote and then move on to our final bill?
Well, if I could, I would just replay that last testimony, and that would be my closing remark. And just to highlight what we heard, and we've heard this before, we have these wonderful people that are working in this field. They have such low compensation, and there's no incentive, there's no payoff to improve your skills. So this tracks providing these tax credits, we would actually put something in place where as somebody went through that career development, they actually got higher, some kind of compensation for doing it. So that's what this bill is about. It's one of strategies, one of the many, many strategies that we need to address the crisis that's going on. So thank you, committee members, and thank you, Aisha Jackson, for that's very, very compelling testimony, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. And with that, Representative Pryor renews her motion, House File 1125, be referred to the Committee on Taxes. And so, Ms. Chambers, if you can please do the roll.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Bolden.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Damon.
Aye.
Representative Juergens.
Juergens, aye.
Representative Cotiza Watoon.
Aye.
Representative Morrison.
Aye.
Representative Wazlowick.
Aye.
And Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, aye.
Okay, by a vote of 13-0, the motion prevails. House File 1125 is on its way to the Committee on Taxes. Congratulations and many thanks, Representative Pryor, and to your testifiers. And then our final bill, Representative Sandell, welcome to early childhood. Thank you for your patience in sitting through those other bills. We appreciate you being here. Representative Pryor, if you could move House File 711 be referred to the Committee on State Government I think it's recommended for placement on the general register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do make that motion.
Thank you so much. That is the next, the plan next stop is to send it to the general register. Representative Sandell, if you can introduce your bill, I think you've got one testifier, and then I want to make sure to leave plenty of time for questions and discussion, if any. So, Representative Sandell, please.
Well, good morning, Chair Pinto and committee members. It's been a pleasure to listen to the testimony this morning, and it's been interesting and I think, as you said before, a little bit dramatic. Thanks very much for the opportunity to talk with you today, and I'm looking for your support for House File 711. We're here this morning because I think all of us share a dedication to early childhood learning. We're looking for ways to encourage, to foster, and direct the imagination and learning in the emotional center of each child. House File 711 is brief and straightforward. It would require professional certification for preschool and early education teachers in public schools. It also provides for those currently teaching without that license to qualify for one by July 2026. I support this initiative because I'm convinced that a degree-centered program combining research, peer, and mentor review, extensive clinical experience, along with the analysis and review from one's peers should be part of each teacher's preparation, and that such a program would meet the licensure requirements under Minnesota Rules, Chapter 8710. Additionally, I support this legislation because of the status that it gives to early childhood teachers and school district contracts as equals with other professional educators, attracting and retaining dedicated men and women to work that's often gone unrewarded, underappreciated, and unprotected. I believe that our youngest children and their teachers will benefit for the rest of their lives from this legislation, and I hope we can agree on that. We've invited one testifier today. A pleasure to introduce one of our terrific South Washington County teachers, Nicole Liffrig, who can tell you a little bit about the program endorsed by this bill that's been so important for her work with young children. Ms. Liffrig, are you here?
We'll call her. I think that she probably is Representative Sandell. Thank you so much for your bill presentation. And Ms. Liffrig, thank you. Please identify yourself and then please proceed.
Good morning, Chair Pinto and members of the committee. My name is Nicole Liffrig, and I'm an early childhood educator in the South Washington County School District 833, as well as a parent of a preschooler. I'm currently completing my master's degree through St. Mary's University and will be graduating this spring. 6 years ago, I obtained my bachelor's degree in Minnesota teaching license. During these 6 years, I have chosen only to teach in an early childhood classroom, and this is why. I have an immense passion for teaching and guiding my young students in the classroom. The joyful innocence, curiosity, and enthusiasm to learn that my students bring when they walk in the door, I thrive on every day. This passion I speak of is seen in my fellow early childhood colleagues. Even in a pandemic, this strong devotion to provide quality education for our young learners has developed deeper amongst us all. Ourselves and our young students have developed many skills during this unprecedented time. Most importantly, resiliency, strength, patience, and the continued willingness to learn and grow. The way my early childhood team collaborated and the creativity of how it might all work was amazing. I told my team, this is the time we will really demonstrate how early childhood educators can take this uncharted territory with so many unknowns and do something with it for the love of our students. As a teacher, you have to be flexible, creative, and prepared, but these elements have taken on a whole new light. My classroom is the beginning and foundation for my young students. It is the beginning and foundation of the development of social-emotional skills such as self-regulation, relationship skills, and responsible decision-making that helps students gain future success in both academics and social interaction with others. It's the beginning and the foundation of the cultivation of lifelong learners. It's the beginning and foundation of a solid educational journey. It is the beginning and foundation of how a caring, safe relationship with a teacher can make every student thrive in the future. Establishing this requirement of an early childhood educators to be highly trained and licensed matters and is significant for the education of our little learners. These young learners who are only 3 to 5 years old are our future, our bright future. That future is cultivated by the early childhood teachers like me that come to their classroom every day to teach, care, and help each individual grow. We are preparing our future. We deserve to be known and feel equal to our K-12 educators in the system. We might seem like a small aspect to the big education world, but we do big things every day with our little ones. The requirement of a teaching license to educate our young students will provide a strong validation for teachers like me that know we are an important factor in the beginning and foundation I've spoken of. On behalf of all early childhood educators, I'm asking for your support. I'm asking for your support to better us as educators, better the future of our early childhood education, better the families we serve, and lastly, better our young students who are our future. Thank you for listening today, Chair Pinto and members of the committee.
Thank you so much, Ms. Liffrig, for your important work. I was thinking that we've gotten to hear today members from people working on system work in this area, but then hearing from people, a number of our early care learning providers directly who are doing work on the front lines, and we're so grateful to you for that. And so members, at this point, I will turn to questions and discussion on the proposal. And so I'll look to see, Representative Juergens, you've got your hand raised, so we'll call on you first.
Couldn't find the unmute button. My question is probably to the bill author. Don't local school districts right now already have the ability to make this a requirement of employment for early childhood instructors?
Representative Sandell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Juergens. A local school district, as you know, may make that requirement. The issue is that most do not. You and I share part of Southwestern County, and in the last contract negotiations, our South Washington County district didn't want to refer to early childhood educators as teachers. They wanted to eliminate that identity and certainly status, so that the early childhood education educator didn't get the support of contract negotiations and the salary they deserved.
Okay, Mr. Chair?
Representative Juergens, pardon me.
I guess my concern then is that we're preempting the local control. If there's some school districts have opted not to require this, that we would be usurping their authority by making it a statewide, writing it into law. So that would be my concern, that we're taking away local control from those duly elected school boards and the administration.
Representative Sangdell? Thank you, Representative.
He calls what he wants. I'm just giving my thoughts on it.
No. Yeah, thank you, Representative Juergens. And Representative Sangdell will give you a chance to respond to that if you'd like.
Well, thank you, Chair Pinto and Representative Juergens. I think that what we've done in the state when it comes to education is establish requirements that each teacher makes when they enter the profession. We want to make sure that the teachers before all of our students are as qualified as possible, that are prepared well, and we want to, as legislators, we want that to be a statewide requirement. At the moment, our earliest learners, as Ms. Liffrig has suggested and others have this morning, are kind of left out of the equation. They represent those people who are whose brains are developing, whose social and emotional skills are developing, and yet we sort of shrug our shoulders and say, well, anybody can enter those classrooms. I know, and you know, that all of us know that some of the people who work with, or most of the people who work with our young learners are dedicated, passionate, and talented. We just want to make sure that we are able to attract the men and women who are imaginative, who are thoughtful, and who want to find, as Ms. Liffrig did, a career in early childhood education. At the moment, the average period of time that an individual stays in early childhood education is under 3 years. And that doesn't give an individual or the children that they work with the adequate experience and skills that might benefit all of us.
Okay, good. And we'll see if Representative Juergens ends up wanting to come back. I think he just had the comment. So we'll move to Representative Daniels.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. And thank you, Representative Sandell, for bringing this bill forward. I'm a little... lack of information. So if you could maybe tell me what percentage currently these educators are not licensed. I'm trying to wrap my head around how big of an issue this is. So if you could provide that information, that'd be great.
Sure. Thank
Representative,
you.
Representative Sandell.
Excuse me, Chair Pinto and Representative Daniels. That's really an interesting question. There are about 60,000 teachers in Minnesota in elementary and secondary schools, and all of them are licensed. There are about 8,000 early education, preschool and early education teachers, and very few of them have the license that is required under Minnesota Rule 8710, which identifies all the work necessary to receive a professional license. So it's a very small group. And as one of the testifiers earlier today suggested, that one of the results or one of the effects of that is that so many of our early education educators are left out of the benefits of teacher negotiations and contracts. And so their salaries are very low. In Minnesota, the salaries for early education teachers are somewhere between $21,000 and the high end $41,000, the average $31,000. We're right in the middle of all states when it comes to compensation for early ed teachers. I'm sorry, that's a long answer to your question, but all of those issues are so important.
Representative Daniels.
So I was just hoping for a percentage. You said it was 8,000 that were licensed out of all the daycare. So any idea what the percentage of that would be?
Representative Sandell, I don't know if you have it, or there may be somebody on the call with us who may be able to. We'll try Representative Sandell.
Thank you, Chair Pinto and Representative Daniel. I have to say that I looked for that percentage, and I couldn't find it among either the Minnesota Department of Education Statistics or the National Center for Educational Statistics. So I apologize. I don't have that answer for you.
And if we have somebody on the call or who's watching remotely and it happens to have Representative Daniels' information, send it on. And I see Ms. McCauley and Ms. Jost both on. Ms. Jost, you unmuted yourself. Perhaps you are able to, we'll see if you might be able to help us with this.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if I can answer the exact question, but I just wanted to say that in rural Minnesota, we have a shortage of preschool and parent educators in Minnesota. And one of the reasons is this very thing that they don't get paid the same amount as a K through 12 teacher. And so we are losing parent educators and early childhood teachers in the school because of that. We do not have enough of them. And, you know, why go to 4 years of college to be as qualified as a K through 12 teacher and then make so much less? It just doesn't make sense. So that's the piece I wanted to add to this conversation.
Ms. Jost, thank you, though. I guess I do want to note for folks, and I should have noted this at the beginning, we did not have any public testifiers sign up on any of the bills today. And so one thing I'll note is, I guess if folks who are on are answering questions, please do that. But otherwise, I don't want to sort of set up an unfairness where now somebody happened to have been signed up for something else. And so if you have an answer to a question from a member, please dive in. Otherwise, at this point, we'd ask folks to submit written testimony. Representative Daniels, anything further from you before we move on?
Just a final comment. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just, you know, we should always, no matter what we do in education, we should be focusing on the child. Doesn't matter if they're kids with disabilities, doesn't matter if they're from a bad neighborhood. And I'm just curious, this bill doesn't seem to really address the child that we're talking about. It just seems to be wanting to make them licensed. The difference in the care, I don't see that being maybe an issue. So whether they're licensed or non-licensed, I think most daycares are doing a relatively good job. So that's just my comment. I just don't know why we're doing this mandatory thing, and just my comment.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. I guess I'll note that all the bills today, I suppose, have focused on what you might call the supply side, right? The tax credits and the retain and others that are focused more on the workforce and on the supply. Maybe Representative Allendale, if you can just briefly touch on Representative Daniels, respond to that if you wish about the way in which licensure is in fact a benefit to children, if it is, if you can say that, and I know we can move to other questioners.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and Ryan or Representative Daniels. You're absolutely right. I taught school for 25 years, and as Ms. Liverick said, she looked forward every day to the joyful innocence of her children, and I did as well. It really kept me alive in the classroom, and I thought that my experience in a teacher training program was helpful, and I thought that it benefited my students. So, Representative Daniels, thank you. You and I are on the same page.
Okay, thank you. Representative Bennett, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I have a question for Representative Sandell, and I appreciate him bringing this bill forward, but I'm a little confused as to the goal of the bill because, as Representative Daniels said, our focus is always on the child and on making sure that child gets quality education. I don't know that there's a lot of data supporting whether a license is going to actually do that or not, but the confusion for me comes because I keep hearing that this is going to raise teachers' pay, which that is a whole different issue, and I think it's important, and we want our child care teachers to be paid more so that they can stay in the field longer and so on. That's a worthy issue, but I don't know that this is the route to go for it, and it concerns me that we are preempting local control on this. So my question, Representative Sandell, is first kind of two questions. One is in the bill, let me get the language, you refer to school-based early education programs. So I'm wondering if you can expand on what that means, what other types of programs does that include? Would it include child care centers, providing school readiness or VPK as a part of a mixed delivery system and that kind of thing? And then my second question is, and I think I kind of just lost it out of my head. I will ask that first question, and the second one will come back to me.
No problem. Representative Sandell.
Thank you, Chair Pinto, and Representative Bennett. You know, it's always a pleasure to talk with you in these committee meetings, so thank you for the question. And your question about now I lost my train of thought. Your question about the effect of training on children in the classroom. It it seems to me that our local school boards have the responsibility of providing the best possible experience for young children. This bill will require the licensure only for teachers who are working in public school systems. So it wouldn't involve family home daycare centers. It wouldn't relate to private schools either. So it is just for those teachers who are working in public school districts and would be covered by the regulations of those school boards. And I'll try to be very brief about the suggestion of pay. No teacher is required to join a union in Minnesota. But all of us gain the benefits of a negotiated contract, and I think that's important. And please don't misunderstand me as saying, well, it's just the money. The money is important, certainly, but it is the position of status. As I mentioned, the average length of service in preschool education for a teacher is under 3 years, and. I worked hard. I thought I made a contribution, and those of you who taught, I see Representative Dabney here who taught as well, and we worked each day and hope that each day went well in the classroom. But as our experience grew, I think we got a little bit better at it, and I hope that that's the possibility that this bill provides.
Thank you, Representative Sandel. So, Representative Bennett, if you can have your second question be pretty quick, if we can, I want to make sure to get to Representative Franson.
Okay,
well,
thank you. I will try to be quick. So my other question is, it's my understanding that early readiness programs in our schools or wherever they're held are, if the teachers themselves aren't licensed, they are supervised by a licensed teacher. So I'm wondering if that's the case. And it seems to me that should be a local choice for school districts, whether they want to have a teacher in charge of those other adults or the teacher itself. So can you help me on that? Thanks.
Representative Sandel, thank you.
Chair Dabney and Representative Bennett, that's really an important issue. It's true that in some districts, a supervisor will be a licensed teacher. Actually, Representative Erdahl is presenting the bill this session on teacher mentoring, which I think is a great bill. So as we do have supervisors, I just my intention is that all of us have a chance to earn a degree and licensure and experience this way.
And then Representative Franson, as we turn to Representative Franson, I should just note that I got some information that maybe in response to Representative Daniels' question, that maybe about 20% of these teachers are licensed. Take that for what it's worth. That may or may not be correct. That's something that I got along the way here. Representative Franson, turn it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. More or less just a comment, not really a question. To me, this bill sounds like it's not really exactly focused on the students, the youngest learners, but more so on union membership. And yes, you did say that those can, you know, opt out of joining the union, which that's their right, but I think local control is kind of the best way for that. Otherwise, this bill, to me, it appears to me, Mr. Sandel, or Representative Sandel, that it's just mainly just a payoff to Education Minnesota to pad their pockets and not necessarily raising the level of professionalism to the educators. My opinion only.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Representative Sandel, any response to that?
Chair Pinto and Representative Franson, we disagree on that. No teacher opts out of being a member of a union. Teachers opt in if they wish. There is no requirement to do that. One doesn't opt out. One joins because they recognize the benefits that they recognize benefits that they consider to be helpful. And I want to emphasize again, the fact that you and I
this will be your closing point, Representative Sandel.
As legislators, as teachers, I think that we grow and become more effective with training and with experience. And my bill would just suggest that the training and the experience and the academic background this bill provides, it has a direct benefit to our children. Thank you very much, Ms. Representative Franson and Chair and committee members.
Thank you, Representative Sandel. And members, I had thought there might be a little more discussion on this bill, which is one of the reasons we were pushing hard on the earlier ones, is we have a little more time on this particular bill for this. And so with that, Representative Pryor renews her motion that House File 711 be recommended for placement on the general register. And Ms. Chambers, if you could please take the roll.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
No.
Representative Bennett.
No.
Representative Bolden?
Aye.
Representative Daniels?
Daniels, no.
Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Representative Damon?
Damon, no.
Representative Juergens?
Juergens, no.
Representative Cotiza-Watoon?
Aye.
Representative Morrison?
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Aye.
And Representative Wolgamott?
Aye.
So by a vote of 8-5, the motion prevails. House File 711 is recommended for placement on the general register. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Sandel, and to your testifier as well. And again, for your patience. Thank you, members. Members, it'll be busy again next week. We'll be sending out meeting notices. And please continue to keep in touch with me. Thank you so much for making it through this hour and a half together. I think we've done some really good work today. Have a great weekend. And with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.